The book of Acts, chapter number 27, is where we are, Acts 27, and tonight we're going to begin looking at verse number 15 with the hope and the prayer that the Lord will enable us to make it through verse 26. That's a lot for me. Hopefully we can work our way through it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness toward us. We are undeserving of anything that you could do for us as far as blessing. But we thank you that through your mercy and through your grace, you have freely extended to us your love and your salvation. And your continued hand upon us. And we are mindful and we are humbled and we are grateful. And of course, Lord, we are preparing to open your word tonight. And we need to hear from you. And we need to get a fresh glimpse of you tonight. Life is hard. Our days are difficult and full of trouble here. So we need a fresh sound, a fresh glimpse of you. And I pray, God, that you would provide that through your word for us tonight so that we may glorify you in a greater way. We love you and we thank you and we praise you tonight for what you'll do for us in the worship of you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Christ's sake, amen. Well, Paul is finally on his way to Rome. And last week we looked at the beginning of his trip to Rome, and we saw that it has been a trip that has gone from being very difficult to becoming very dangerous. And when we left Paul last Wednesday night, it is approximately the fall, late October of AD 60, and the crew of the ship that Paul is being transported on has decided that Fair Havens on the island of Crete is not an ideal place for them to winter the ship and wait till February to move on toward Italy. The crew want to go about 40 miles northwest to the port of Phoenice on the island of Crete, and to winter there. But you'll remember Paul has warned them about the danger of their decision to move forward at this particular time of the year. His advice was for them to winter in Fair Havens, and he tried to dissuade them from going on. But they do decide to go on. And as they begin to move up the coastline of Crete, and this is a grain vessel from Egypt, Alexandria of Egypt, and it's a ship that's designed to sort of creep along the coast. It's not a ship that is built to be out in the open ocean. But they sort of move up the coastline of Crete toward Phoenice, and a great storm, in fact, a storm of like a cyclone, pushes their vessel away from the shoreline out into the open sea. And that is where we left Paul last week. And so before we dive into verse number 15 tonight, I wanted to ask the question, maybe you're asking the question as well. If this is God's will that Paul get to Rome, why is this journey so difficult? And why is this journey become so dangerous if it's God's will? Because I think we err when we think that if the way is difficult and dangerous, it can't possibly be God's will. God's will is always seen in the easiness and the way that the pieces begin to fall into place. But you'll remember, it's when the wind died down, when things got a little easier, that's when the men decided they would go. And we see that it indeed can be God's will, even if the going is hard and the going is difficult and the going is dangerous. I would just remind you tonight that God is sovereignly, absolutely, 100% in control of the storms of life. He is absolutely 100% sovereignly in control of all of the winds, all of the waves, and everything else. God is even in charge of the crew of this ship, ignoring Paul's concern and pushing off so late in the winter. And God is directing everything. God is controlling everything to accomplish His plan and His purpose for His glory. And just because it's difficult, and just because it's hard, and just because it's dangerous, doesn't mean it's not God's will and God's purpose. God is behind it all. So tonight, I want us to look here, and I want us to see how we are to respond to God's will being hard, being difficult, being dangerous, so that it all will bring glory to Him. Verse 15. And when the ship was caught by the wind of this storm, and could not bear up into the wind, we, the crew of the ship, let her drive. This storm that they are in is so violent, is so fierce, that they have lost all ability to fight against it or to steer the ship in it. They had just to let the storm just drive the ship wherever the storm wanted to drive the ship. So they have lost all control here of any direction or any navigation of this ship. They have just taken their hands off of the wheel, and it is being driven now according to the storm. They don't have the strength and they don't have the ability to keep the ship close to shore. They cannot stop the ship from being taken out into the open sea. They are helpless against the fierceness of this storm. Verse 16. And running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Now, let me show you where Claudia is. This is the island of Crete. This is Fair Havens, where they were, and this is Phoenice, where they want to go. And going up along the shoreline, the storm has pushed them all the way out here into this little island called Claudia. It's where they are in verse 16. And here, what is happening here is These ships towed behind them lifeboats. And what they are doing here in verse number 16 is that they are struggling to get this lifeboat into the ship. And you can understand that in a storm like this, this lifeboat that they are towing behind the ship is probably, no doubt, full of water. So they're trying to get this boat into the vessel, into the ship, and they are struggling. Verse 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. So they're barely able to get the lifeboat into the ship. And after they do that, they take ropes, cables, and they use them to go under the ship, holding the cables or the ropes on either side, letting that go under the ship, and then tightening it on both sides so that the bottom of the boat will have some sort of stability, because they fear that the boat is going to be busted into pieces. And again, as I said, the ship is not designed for open sea storms such as that. So they're doing everything they can to keep this boat together, an effort to hold the boat together, to keep it from being torn apart. And when it comes to this, putting those cables underneath the boat to hold the boat together, it has become a drastic measure. Things are not good. They are also fearing that this wind is going to run them aground in the shallowness of water toward specific lands or specific islands. They're trying not to be run aground by the wind in these shallowness and these sandbanks that were so feared by sailors. So they let down the sails and they drop down their anchor in an attempt to create a drag to somehow slow things down a bit. So they're trying to present have some friction, some drag to keep them from being so swiftly driven by the storm into these shallow places. Verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now, the next day, after they get the cables on the bottom of the boat and they let down the anchor and drop the sails, now they start throwing things overboard. What are they throwing overboard? They're throwing the grain overboard. It's a grain ship. They're getting rid of the grain. They're lightening the ship. This is such a dire situation. It is such a bad situation that they are throwing over the very thing that is going to bring them profit. They are literally throwing money overboard when they're throwing this grain overboard. It is amazing how your priorities change when you're facing death. Say amen. Verse 19. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Now notice verse 19, they have been in this storm for 3 days. 3 solid days of this storm. And it's not getting any better. And now they begin to throw overboard the tackling of the ship. This tackling of the ship speaks of the ship's gear and the ship's equipment. Anything that was not necessary to hold the ship together was thrown overboard. They got rid of it. Anything they could do without, they tossed it out. They are acting out of pure desperation. They were doing everything that they could, but nothing they were doing was helping. The storm was as fierce and violent as ever. Nothing they did helped. They were simply just trying to hang on in one piece, hoping the storm would soon be over. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Many days. Scholars think at verse 20, we're talking maybe 11 days. 11 days of this storm. 11 days of doing everything that you can and nothing getting better. In fact, things getting worse. And not only were they facing the winds and the waves, but they were facing the winds and the waves in darkness. No sun, no stars, no navigational references to guide them. Verse 20 tells us they are lost at sea. They have no idea exactly where they are, and they have no idea what direction they needed to go in. They have no navigational signs whatsoever. And despite all of their efforts, despite all of their training, they're sailors, right? Despite all of their training, despite all of their tactics, the storm was not letting up. And nothing they did seemed to help. So when we get to verse 20, 11 days into the storm maybe, they have now lost all hope. They've lost all hope that they would be saved. Every hope of every sailor of salvation had been taken away from them, had been stripped from them, is the idea here. By what? By the storm. They were tired. They were seasick. They were wet. They were cold, and they were in the darkness of the storm, and they had been stripped completely of any hope they had. Are you getting the picture? Are you feeling that? Some of you are feeling that. They had resigned to the fact that it was not a question of if they were going to die, it was a question of when. And I want to say here, sometimes that's where God wants to get us to. Sometimes that's the place that God wants us to get to. A point where nothing we do seems to make anything any better, where we have grown weary of trying, too weak to do anything more, loss of all and any hope, a place where we are about to give up. And God sometimes puts us in those places, I think, to strip us of any confidence that we are placing in our own efforts or in the efforts of others. To realize that no amount of experience on the sea or expertise is going to help us in this one. This storm is simply too big. This storm is simply too strong. This storm is just simply too violent. It's too much. This is it. The ship cannot handle much more. Have you ever been there? The storm beating against you, it simply won't let up day after day after day. And just when you think it might finally be over, it only picks up the pace. And you're so tired. You have done everything you know to do. And you have lost hope. That is where these men are. And I've been there. And if you'll be honest, you've been there too. But I'm glad for the buts in Scripture. Aren't you glad there's a but? After long abstinence from what? That word means to fast. Now, I don't want to be curt here. Why weren't they eating? After they haven't eaten for a while, why? It's hard to eat when you're puking. They're all seasick. They have no appetite to eat. They were seasick in the worst kind of way. And you know what you do? In a situation like this, you just tie a rope around you and lay there and wish you could die. And on top of all of this, Paul says, I told you, dummies. Look what he says. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Paul says, you should have listened to me. I told you, I urged you to winter in fair havens, and you would not listen. You thought you knew more than me. And if you'd listened to me, we would not be in this situation of harm and hurt. Paul makes sure that they know he was right and they were wrong. And maybe they will get the idea that they ought to listen to him now. You didn't listen before. I think that's the idea. You didn't listen to me before. You see what happened? Now I'm getting ready to tell you something else that you need to listen to. And hopefully you'll listen to me this time. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, except but of the ship. Paul tells them that they are not to despair. They are to be of good cheer, because no one on the ship is going to lose their life. No one. The only thing that's going to be lost is the ship itself. Now, my question is, how can Paul make such a claim, and why should they believe such a claim? Verse 23. And 24. For, because There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This boat, this ship, in the middle of the sea, may be without hope, but it is not without God. God, who promised to never leave us nor forsake us ever, is on the boat, standing next to Paul. Are you listening? God had come to Paul by an angel and had promised that Paul will get to Rome safely. He must get to Rome safely. He must stand before Caesar. And the promise of God to Paul that God made many years ago must stand. And now the angel reveals that no one is going to lose their life. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says about God here. In the storm. Paul's going through the storm too. This God who stood by me this night through this angel and communicated this truth to me, this is the God to whom I belong. He doesn't say the God of the universe. He doesn't say the God of providence. He doesn't say the God who holds everything. No, he says, the God who holds me. The God to whom I belong. The God whom I am his possession. I am his property. They have unloaded everything that was dear to them in an effort to lighten the ship. But God is not unloading us. God's not throwing us overboard. No, I belong to Him, and He's not letting me go. This God, whose I am, who I belong to, this is the God who I serve. Can I just say something here? If you don't serve Him, you don't belong to Him. Because if you belong to Him, you serve Him. This is the God whom I worship. I am His, and I worship Him. God owns it all. God owns everything by His creative authority. But He owns us. He owns Paul by redemptive authority. You are not your own. You're His. And the promise here is widened. It's not just Paul, you're going to make it. It includes all of them, not just Paul. They will be delivered. But they will not be delivered by their own efforts to survive. They will not be delivered because of anything they have merited or deserved. They are saved strictly because of Paul. Don't miss this. God hath given thee, Paul, all them that sail with thee. They have all been given to Paul. Do you realize that no one is saved because of what they do or don't do? No one is saved because they have merited it or because they deserve it. No one. If I'm saved, if you're saved, if anyone is saved, it is due to someone else. Because we have been given to Christ. We are saved because Christ is on the boat. If it were not for Him, if it were not for Jesus Christ, we would all perish. We are all saved for Christ's sake. These men will owe their deliverance to Paul, and we owe our deliverance to Christ. These sailors were given to Paul by God, and we have been given to Christ by God. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. I belong to Him. I worship Him. I serve Him. I believe Him. Say amen. That's a good testimony. I belong to Him. I worship Him. I believe Him. Now let me say something here. It's easy to believe that God exists. There are signs of the existence of God everywhere. Paul doesn't say, I believe that God exists. He says, I believe God. I believe what He says. I believe what He says. I believe it will turn out just as God said it will. And nothing could convince Paul that it would be any different than what God had promised. The God that Paul belonged to and the God that Paul served is the God that Paul believes and trusts in. And Paul believes everything that he says. The storm doesn't matter. As hard and as fierce and as violent as the storm is, it doesn't matter because the storm is not in control. The problems don't dictate our lives. God is in control. Don't fear the storm. Trust God in the storm. Serve God in the storm. Because you belong to Him. Do you get that? You belong to Him. He has precious cargo on that ship. You know how I know that Royal Caribbean and Carnival is not, I'm not going to die on, that ship's not going to go down? Not because they have value for me, they have value for that ship. God has value for you. You're His, you belong to Him. He bought you. He loves you. He saved you. He's your Father. Believe His promises to you. Believe His sovereignty over the storm. Trust Him in the worst situations of your life. And you know, you see. That doesn't mean you won't be in a storm. It doesn't mean that you're quickly going to get out of a storm. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose the ship. It means that you can trust God to be faithful and true to every promise He has ever made to you. Do you believe Him? Don't doubt Him. Trust Him. It is all, listen, whatever happens, it all is going to wind up exactly the way that God has determined and decreed it will wind up. So, don't live with yourself tied off with a rope, filled with fear in your heart and doubt in your mind that God's even in control of anything going on. No, you believe, you trust, you know He is your God, you belong to Him, you serve Him, He will not break His promises to you. He is in control. Do not let the storms of life cause you to lose sight of who He is or what He has already done for you or what He has promised still to do. He is the God behind the storms, and you can believe that. Verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. The ship's going to be lost. So guys, you need to get ready. But rest assured, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. We must be. It's predetermined. It's pre-planned. We must be cast upon a certain island. God already has the details worked out. This is how you're getting to Rome. There's a certain island. That's where God has decreed that we will be. Don't think God ain't in charge. We must be cast on this certain island. God's working out the details. They're going to surf in. Say amen. But God's going to get them there safely. Amen. You belong to Him. He's the God you worship. Believe what He says. Believe Him. Amen.